go back too. I've known
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we used at least... to Twitter giggle
yeah,
all the time.
That's right.
Yeah.
You continue to be in my heart on Humboldt Twitter.
Oh, thank you. There's... It's where I put my jokes that my grandma can't see.
Exactly. Yeah. And together you form what percentage of the on-the-spot improv comedy group?
I only know it as a fraction. Do you know?
Yeah,
it as a
it's bad. There's what are we like half?
Half of a bunch?
Half?
A quarter?
We're
of a grip. Bunch?
The whole group is a grip. We're
understood.
A grip of
a murder.
Yeah, we're yeah. We're a murder of improvers. But I think there's seven of us.
I think there's seven players. Yeah, this is our second season, so we're going through we take every summer off before in between seasons. And we usually, you know, lose some members, gain some members. So right now, I think there's six of us players. We have a new host who was a player last year. Curly Sherman's going to be our new host for the season. And we have two or three potential new players that we're kind of vetting right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Are they top secret? Are we not allowed to, like, say their names?
I think we can, yeah.
I can say who they are.
Right.
Well, I mean, I don't know if, they're not listening.
No,
it's true. We keep them locked in that box
both
the
probably,
whole time.
Yeah. It's nap time
yeah.
in the box right now. So.
We're just making they're curing meats for us. We get really tired after the shows, so we keep them in the box, the new people, and they're just curing delicious cuts of meat.
Nothing worse than anything you would see at a dorm or you know, any sort of...
It depends on the dorm. Some of these dorms... I truly enjoy the hall, residential hall food here at Humboldt State. I am not kidding. I enjoy it.
I loved the salad bar. I miss
right?
it so much.
Is that why you're crying while you're saying this? Because crying can be either sadness or happiness. Yeah.
No, very recently I had a student meal plan. Like I lived in the dorms. Okay, so what we're talking about here is improv comedy. It's happening once a month. Ish, and it's happening at the ATL. For somebody who has not been, the first thing that I would like to commend you guys on is that it starts not at 11:30 p.m.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you on
You're
behalf
welcome.
Of working people and parents for having entertainment.
That's honestly why we chose those times, and we are totally family friendly. We're able to pull that off so people can bring their kids. Like, you can feel safe. You can bring your kids, and you can go home and go to sleep at a reasonable time.
Yeah, I think right now we're doing doors open at 6:30, show starts at 7, and it's about a two-hour show with intermission. And like Matt said, yeah, family-friendly. There are some, you know, there is some suggestive material, but we keep it just as safe as the old Whose Line Is It Anyway show. We kind of use that as our...
The British one.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
You know.
Fair enough.
Well, that clinical innuendo.
Who's the one guy who made it to the American version? It was Colin Mochrie, right?
Ryan Stiles.
And Greg Proops.
Colin Mochrie is Canadian, is he not?
Yeah.
Yes.
So is Ryan Stiles, I thought.
Ryan Stiles is from... Ryan Stiles has a comedy club, an improv club, somewhere in Washington.
State or D.C.?
Yes, Washington State.
Interesting.
I'm going
to go
with from
Canadian.
There. Yeah. He could... No, totally. Yeah. I could see that's like... If you're going to open a business in the U.S. and you're Canadian, Washington or,
that's where
you
go, for sure.
Idaho. I don't know why, you know.
I was in an elevator once, by the way, with Greg Proops.
I thought you were just bragging about being in an elevator.
Yeah. I mean, there's only two in all of
the
counties.
I lived at large,
yeah.
No, I was in an elevator once, and he was like a big hero of mine in the 90s. And I went to see a radio show where there was a bunch of it was Live 105 in the Bay Area. They used to have comedians come in.
Right.
And so I had the day off of school. Mm-hmm. And I went out there and I found myself in the elevator with like my comedy hero, and I look over at him and he's looking at the ground because we didn't have phones then.
Yeah.
And then I say to him, I'm like, so are you going to tell some jokes? And then I realized this is the most dumb thing a person could say to their comedy hero. Are you going to tell jokes?
It's the worst. In fact, like, people approach, you know, it's like Matt and Dev, they do stand-up and whatnot, but I kind of just stick to the improv thing. That's always been my forte and what I like to do the most because the less pressure I feel. But as soon as someone's like, oh, you're a comedian, I'm like, I do it. Because immediately they put you on the spot, and it's very different when it's just one or two people, right?
Oh, yes, on the spot.
It's very different when it's just one or two people versus an audience, because, like, if it's just one or two people, like, I have people at my job who have no idea I do live shows, and they see me and they're like, you're a completely different person. I'm like, one, there's a whole bunch of people watching me on purpose. Two, they are paying me, which is crazy.
Yeah, there's a context for the humor itself,
exactly.
Right? It's not like, I'm not going to, and truly, I'm not going to ask you to be funny because that would put you, it's like asking Van Gogh to to go paint. First of all, he's dead. But asking him, asking his dead body to paint something, there's no way that that makes sense.
I heard his
to do
ear
comedy out of that.
His ear was the one that did like all the good ones.
Probably not.
Yeah,
probably
he
not.
Just
I heard
like
his ear
wiggled.
Is still alive.
Oof.
I ran into Weird Al once at a vintage arcade thing by one of the piers in San Francisco.
Of course you did.
And I ran into Weird Al, and my brain just went, and all I could say is like, hey, do you know who you are? And that was it. Like, I blew it.
Were you aware?
That's your shot.
I blew it.
So what happens at these on-the-spot comedy events? I mean, improv comedy, you make it up on the spot. Like you said, there's kind of less pressure because what comes out is what comes out.
Exactly.
And there's it's not like you've sat and workshopped it.
Yeah. We play games, just like on Whose Line. We have a roster of games that's pretty massive at this point.
Mm. Yes, and
yeah, and so we play those games, and we do have rehearsals, but we're rehearsing just all the games because it takes a long time because there's games that we won't end up playing because we just forget that it exists. There's so many games, so it's just us getting games, playing these games. All the prompts are coming from the audience.
And is our audience incorporated? Is it the kind of thing where if I go, do I need to just not sit up front? Am I going to get picked on if I sit up front?
Nah, unless you're like waving your hand, unless you're asking for it on either end of the spectrum of that phrase, like unless you're like
right
asking for it, or you're like ooh me,
I'm game.
You're not, yeah, you're not gonna really get.
Some of us are very game for people coming and acting like that. If you want, we do have some games where there's audience participation.
Yeah. Hold on, everybody, turn around, say hi, Katie.
Hi.
That's Katie Whiteside, the program director. I have headphones on. What's your name?
Destiny.
Destiny. Hi, Destiny.
Hi, Destiny.
Welcome. Hi. All right. Sorry about that. They were staring and it felt weird.
No, it's fair.
Okay, so you play the games. It starts, doors at 6:30, the show's at 7, and then you run through the things that you do.
Yeah, I mean, like Matt was saying before, we have such a large folder of games, and it's great, and we truly try to stick to the format of we don't know what we're going to play. So it's up to the host herself. She chooses all the games that we're going to play. So when we come into the show, even when we're starting, we don't know until we get called up.
Yeah, there's like 50, we probably have like an arsenal of like 50...
50 in
things
our rotation.
We cycle, yeah, in rotation, and then we don't really know which, like, 12 or 15 are going to be.
And I think that's what's so amazing there. About something like improv. We have so many regular...
That's like a fish show.
Right? we're the fish of comedy, Mike. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've done
but
it.
But preferably with kids that want to be there.
Can we talk... Let's talk about comedy, just because there was a time that there was no comedy scene in Humboldt, and we have to give a lot of credit to the Savage Henry crew.
Yes. Yeah. For sure.
For pretty much building that. They had help, and there's other people involved. But there was a time when you could go see comedy at the mall in the late 90s. There was
Sweet River. Yeah.
And you could go see, like, Tree for, like, $9 on a Wednesday and then get, you know,
all the shrimp
mozzarella sticks. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, and then it went away, and then it came back. But you guys also have to operate in the real world because it doesn't pay all the bills, per se. You work at the hospital, Dan?
Yeah. So I work in one of our local hospitals in medical purchasing. That's my regular everyday lifestyle. And as I was saying before, there's plenty of people there. I've had doctors stop me and then quote something I said at the show. And I was like, oh God, no, trust me, I'm professional. He's like,
worlds collide.
He's like, no, that cat made out of meatloaf was a great bit. I'm like, thank you, doctor. All right, I just bow and slowly walk away.
Redbeard, are you a functioning member of society?
I am a functioning member. Most recently, I just got a regular full-time job. Comedy does not pay the bills. I've toured extensively all over the West Coast, the longest of which I did about 6 weeks worth of shows on the road. But what comedy does have, and it's prevalent, the independent comedy, especially on the West Coast and pretty much all over the U.S., is an amazing network of people who are there to support. When I go out of town, I don't have to worry about a place to stay. I don't have to worry about figuring how to get food in my stomach. And the feeling is mutual and vice versa for when they come up here. I treat them the same as they treated me. And everyone kind of does that. So it's possible. If it's a thing that you want to do, it's totally possible, but it doesn't pay for anything.
We're not money rich. We're hot wing rich.
It's a
good rich.
At the risk of sincerely giving accolades to humanity itself, that is a beautiful thing you just said.
Yeah. No, it's a beautiful thing in general, because especially in a political climate now that we're in, and people want to be able to vent, but people also want to be hopeful and they want to be positive. And it's, I've basically in the last like 6 years or so of doing comedy, I have family all over the world that I would never have met if it wasn't for, you know, doing comedy.
The like, jokes. And then Dev over here.
I work at Scrap Humboldt.
Yes.
So
I'm for Scrap Humboldt.
Yeah.
Such an awesome organization.
My favorite job I've ever had, and I hope I can do it for the rest of my life.
Under new management.
Yeah. So we have a new director, and then I do the volunteer outreach and the material reuse coordination. So I decide where all of our donations kind of go and what they do. And then in addition to that, I teach theater and improv to wee little kids.
Really?
Yeah, in the city of Eureka.
Really?
It is the most adorable thing in the world.
Really? I want to go to that.
You can come to the class anytime. Do you know who doesn't know how to filter themselves? 6-year-olds. Yeah, so improv is like the best thing
Perfect.
Ever.
Wow.
For little kids.
That's when people ask me like, how do you do it? I genuinely tell them that filter that's built in us as we become adults, that filter of brain to mouth, I just turn it off.
Yeah.
And just try not to curse on stage.
And thanks, by the way, none of you have cursed here. I've interviewed comedians on the radio before, and I always kind of white-knuckle grip it.
Right.
But thank you very much for respecting
the decency. I was late and a little out of breath because I just screamed everything inside the elevator.
Oh, good.
Because, A, I've been on an elevator, too.
And also to that, and why I like always, because in stand-up, there's a lot of like, don't hold your tongue, say whatever outrageous thing, and that's fine, and like I can understand that, and like whatever, but I had to like, do I want to be outrageous or do I want to be funny?
Totally.
Okay,
yeah.
You do improv. And if you do comedy, try just forcing yourself not to say anything crude.
This is the thing. Yeah. This is Howard Stern, and I know people have feelings, but that's the thing he always knew, is that, and then forgot when he went to satellite radio, is the tension is what made it funny. The fact that you had a boundary to push at all.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like Marilyn Manson or like shock rock, you know, that just gets old. There's such a shelf life on shockingness itself. It's for so sure. boring.
Well, we live in a culture now, especially where things are normalized so quickly. They just, everything that happens is so widespread and shared and becomes normalized so quickly that it makes it kind of hard to figure out, like, which side you need to be on to do satire.
Yeah.
Like, it makes it really
you know
hard to walk
it?
That line.
The Onion writers right now, they talk about how hard it is to write jokes right now.
Yeah.
It's nuts. All right,
we usually avoid that.
I had a couple of things for you before you go. I like comedy. I'm non-practicing comedy fan. But I always thought like the names Upright Citizens Brigade, right?
Yeah.
The Groundlings, Second City. Like there's such a rich tradition of naming in that. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if there were an online comedy improv comedy troupe name generator?
Oh, that would be rad. Oh,
yeah. And there is one.
Oh.
Here's the problem. You need a 20-sided dice to do it. You need like a D&D
they
dice.
Know they're
oh,
gonna
so they. Wow.
And that's where I was like, okay, well, that's a dead end.
He's talking about my Facebook page right now.
Well, if like Dev, Matt, and I, if we just do, we do a game called One Word Story. So let's just One Word Story a name really quick. So,
thank you.
So cheeseburger.
Paradise.
Come on.
Spain. See, I wasn't good at that. Can we try it again?
Okay. Sorry. It's three nouns. Yeah. It doesn't work.
One more time. Start.
Okay. Linguistic.
Paradise.
Spain.
Oh, nailed it.
Did I get it that time?
I think we got it.
Okay.
Linguistic Paradise, Spain.
That'll be our 21-and-over show.
There it is. Yeah.
Originally, we wanted to call ourselves Metallica, but apparently that was taken. It was super bummed to see that.
Yeah. Honestly, this is kind of like showing my vulnerability a little bit. I pitched the name Yes Andy,
That's a good one.
Nobody else went for it.
I would have.
If you want to start a troupe,
yes,
we
Andy.
Could do that. Yeah. Yeah, perfect.
I think the way we chose on the spot was we're like, ah, we know about on the spot. And then someone drew a logo. We're like, all right, cool. We're on the spot.
Yeah, that works.
We like that logo.
The Nickelodeon splat. But,
yeah. I mean, it could
not
be any
the
spot.
Non, it's
it
not.
Have
it's
to
the,
not, the nondescript
it's a splat.
Child cartoon about. Place right. Splat.
That 90s.
Last thing, I think it's time that we agree, and maybe this is a thing that you discuss in your community, but I'm an outsider in your world.
Mm-hmm.
But NASCAR, not a sport, right? Bowling, a game, not a sport.
True.
Comedy sports, not sports.
I would agree with that.
Okay. Wait, Dev is aghast. Dev is not having it.
No, you just said, what was the first one you said?
NASCAR.
Not a sport.
It's a skill. And it's, by the way, I could never do it. I'm sure there's a level of like physical fatigue, but so is a transatlantic flight.
I also have a hard time with left turns at high speed. All the time in Arcata, especially when the school is back in session.
So. Like NASCAR's not a sport any more than like World War One, like foot soldiering is a sport. Like there's certainly
why
skills.
Are you picking on all my hobbies?
So, Mike, I'll tell you what, Mike, if you come to our show, it's going to be on September 29th, a Friday. Smooth. You come to the show, maybe we bring you up on stage and we'll see how tired you get after doing a game or two with us.
You know what? I don't want any part of that. You have just assured that I will never be there.
What if you watch them to see how fatigued we get after games?
I'm sure. Okay,
Matt and I sweat all over the place. It's very dangerous after a while.
And that's just from us sitting there.
That's just getting ready.
We're sweaty. There's, I'm not going to lie, people. There's a couple sweaty bearded dudes in this group.
We were almost the sweaty boys.
You're probably going to smell our pits at some point.
Okay. Well, anyway, if people need more information about On the Spot comedy, they can go to khsu.org right now. There's a link there. You're on Facebook. It Googles real easily. Nice work on the SEO, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Really well done with that search engine optimization. I mean, really at the top of your game.
Thank you.
All right. I got to kick you out. Thanks, guys.
Cool. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
On the Spot comedy troupe.
Thank you.
You are listening to Linguistic Paradise Spain here on KHSU. And support for KHSU comes from Hirsch Hubcaps. They're open weekdays from 10:30 to 5 at 10th and O Streets in Arcata. Hirsch offers thousands of new and used hubcaps plus auto detailing supplies. More information can be found at hirschhubcaps.com. That's H-I-R-S-H. And... Yes, and programming on KHSU is supported in part by the Art Center, catering to the artist and everyone, and featuring a broad selection of art supplies plus custom framing. The Art Center is located on the Arcata Plaza and has a frame shop and gallery at 616 2nd Street, Old Town Eureka. If you want funny jokes, go see them or Google Stuart Lee. Stuart Lee's comedy vehicle on the BBC. It's awesome. This is Steve Gunn.